Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Jenny Hubby, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to an exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Jenny Hubby.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Bruce.
Well, that echo is with us today.
It is.
All right, but it'll calm down after a few minutes. But anyway, well, looks like it's another hot day down here in Texas. Dog days of summer, but school is on the horizon for many. And here we go again with another round of academic years and summer coming to a close. So
that's right.
Right, just have to grieve the loss, but okay. At least it'll get cooler.
That's right. I got a preview in Seattle last weekend. It was so perfect, just perfect.
Oh, that's nice. You've been doing some traveling this summer.
Cooling off.
You betcha. Well, as always, we have a special guest with us today, and I'm sure our listeners and we, of course, are interested in hearing about our guests and her work and how she does it, and just looking forward to hearing from her. So Jenny, if you want to introduce our guest, that'd be great.
Absolutely. Well, I would like to welcome Jerry England to our show. And Jerry has several master's degrees, one in education. She's also CPCC, and I'll let her tell you what that is, and is an executive coach and a consultant with specialty in stories. Story to Success System is something that she's a creator of, and so many more things that she's involved in, and rich experience. I can see career experience in corporate America. And so I know we'll hear her story. My guess is, Jerry, that you've taken your professional experience, career experience, and you use that to help others in coaching, in the coaching role and the consulting role. So rather than me telling your story, I want to welcome you to the show and talk to us a little bit about how you got in to starting your business.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your inviting me to be on the show. Well, I have a varied background. I originally started out in the field of education, and then I moved into nonprofit work, and then wound up in the business sector working for several large corporations in the telecommunications arena. And I had worked in sales and also in training and then organization development. So I had several arenas that I gained a lot of experience in, and through those experiences worked with many, many leaders and departments across the organizations. And when you're working with a large enterprise, that can be anything from operations to sales and marketing to public affairs to HR to the field operations, including retail stores, that kind of thing. So, because I used to work for GTE and then Verizon, and then have worked on contracts with several other large companies as well in different industries. And anyway, so that's a little bit about my experience. What else would you like for me to dive into here?
So tell us about how you came to start your business as an entrepreneur.
Okay. Well, I was among those employees, like many of the people who are probably listening to the show, who experienced all the changes that large organizations go through. So I went through a big merger with Bell. What happened is GT and Bell Atlantic decided to merge their companies, and we formed Verizon. So I wound up staying with Verizon, and I wound up in a new business unit and stayed there for several years. And then the company offered a large buyout package, and it was one of those packages that was too good to turn down, right? And a lot of us said, well, we're going, this is probably never going to happen again, because they really sweetened the pot for a lot of us. And so many of us left long before we would have been really retired, but I thought, well, this is the opportunity. I'm getting a year's salary. I'm getting health care benefits, all kinds of things. I'm going to go out and start a business, the dream that I'd had for years. And so that year I took that opportunity to launch my own small business. And I'm still a solopreneur. And I've been doing it for quite a number of years, over 10 years now. And I've done a lot of work in corporate contracts as well as working with individuals. And so it was just a desire, a dream I had to become an entrepreneur. And I was still young enough to try something new, I thought. And I had the money and the opportunity, so I just jumped on it.
Awesome. What a blessing that was in disguise, maybe.
Yeah, sure was. And
well, I'll mention too how we became connected. It was sort of indirectly that Jerry did a training, maybe you might call it a workshop, for coaching students on appreciative inquiry, and using that appreciative inquiry as a coach. And I'll let you talk more about that. And I heard so much good about it from Dr. Jane Gardner and from the students. And I couldn't wait to talk to you. I figured if you use that tool, you really are focusing on how to help people draw on their own personal power to achieve what they want to achieve. And then, of course, can't wait to talk to you about the storytelling. So wherever you want to go with that.
Okay. All right. Well, just to give a little bit more about the process that I use, I work with teams, leaders, individuals, and teams to help them uncover their empowering stories and stories that have had a big impact on them and influenced the direction of their teams, their organizations, and also when I'm doing it personally, their lives and their careers. And what we do is we pull out the themes and patterns from those stories, and then we use them to look at what's the best of the past? What do we want to carry forward with a team? And so the appreciative inquiry process comes in, which sounds sort of esoteric, but when you think about the two words, appreciation, we're literally looking into an organization or an individual and appreciating the best of who they are, finding their core essence. And then the inquiry has to do with asking questions, studying, researching, but actually exploring what that organization or that individual is about from an appreciative perspective. And so when I'm working with teams, what we do is, I'll give you an example. A team that I worked with this past year was a church group. And we had a leadership team, and the pastor and the staff all came in. We had about 10 to 15 people in the session. And I took them through several different workshops with a colleague who brought me in. And we put them through a process. We call it a 5D process. And what that is, we help them define what is it they want to learn more about and what do they want to increase more of in their organization. And so that's the definition phase of the 5D process, defining the topic of interest or discussion. And then we go into what's called the discovery phase. And that's where I put people into pairs and they interview each other around the topic. And it might be leadership, it could be communication, or it could be just a question about what's the very best experience that you ever had in this organization that you would love to share with your partner. And then they interview each other. And then as a group, we have them. Now, you can do it a lot of different ways, but I often have them tell each other's story. So what they heard, what did you hear about your partner? And then I ask the whole group to listen together. What are the themes and patterns in that story that you hear? And then we flip chart them. So we go around the room, we do it with all of them. So that's our discovery process. So we're looking for those themes that are empowering and that they want to carry forward. And then we actually go through a process of what's called dreaming. That's the third stage. We have defined, discovered, and dream. And dream is where we have them envision, if you could have this topic, let's say it's the best leadership or the best communication in this organization, the very best it could be, then I divide them into small groups and they come up with an image of what that could be like. And then we share that with a group. And then we go into what's called the design phase. And then we actually design what that would look like. And then the final D is what's called delivery. And that's where they go out and execute or implement what they've decided to do. Now, that's it in a nutshell, but it's much more detailed and takes more time than like 2 minutes, like I just described.
Right.
But it's really, really empowering because every person in the room has a voice. Everybody gets to tell their story. And everybody gets to listen to everyone. Wow. And it's very democratic. And the leadership has to be willing to let go, right?
Right.
To allow that kind of input.
Yeah, and just to allow that experience to flow.
Mm-hmm. And the energy in the room is palpable. When people start telling, when I teach, I also teach at UTD Dallas in their coaching program, in their School of Management, and I teach this same methodology on an individual level to use with individuals. And to a student, almost every person comes back to me and tells me they just cannot believe how powerful this is when they're actually asking someone to tell them their story. It's so simple, but the people relive that experience and all that same emotions. The brain science supports all this, that endorphins, the oxytocin, which is the love hormone, all that surfaces to allow the connection to be even stronger and more powerful. So the coaches wind up having a very quick rapport with their clients, more so than if they start out talking about a problem that the client wants to fix, quote unquote.
Right. That's amazing how powerful that is. And as you were going through the five D's, I'm thinking through this process, you're giving people such a powerful experience that it can be life changing because sometimes we're even blind to the power of our own story.
Oh, for sure. You said something very profound there. and people, they learn so much about themselves because we do have blind spots. And whenever I'm working with the students, I always have them go out and interview a colleague of the client that they're coaching. They have to have a practice client so that they can get a perspective. And they do an appreciative interview about the client with a colleague. So when they come back, they're telling about the person's strengths and talents and when they were at their best and what that person valued about them. And that is mind-boggling for some of the folks because they tend to be so down on themselves or they just look at what they're not doing well versus what they do well.
Mm-hmm.
And it really does. It really has a lot of people get a lot of insights and also it helps to transform the relationships often between the client and the colleague because they hadn't talked about some of these things in the past.
Yeah, you're helping them shift their mindset from that problem solving, what's wrong, let's fix it, to what's right, and how do we use that? Wow, that's just amazing.
Yeah, and go ahead.
Can you just go around everywhere and do this, just like families, companies, schools, everywhere? That's really cool.
Well, and some of the students that I work with actually do use it with families, and it's been very interesting because we'll get the students that I have come from all kinds of fields. Many of them are executives or attorneys or doctors, or they're either second, third career, or they're just wanting to add more skills to their toolkit. But some of them are therapists or other people who are in the helping professions that just deal with families or kids, and they found it to be very useful. In building better relationships and helping people build their self-esteem and their self-confidence. Mm-hmm. It's a real big esteem booster when they go through this process.
It really is. And Bruce, the way I got connected and everyone that's listening, the way I was connected with Jerry, as I mentioned, was the training for coaching students. And what Jerry may not realize is that in the follow-up training with these students, because I was a trainer for that class, that I challenged them to use the appreciative inquiry in a complimentary consultation. And I know that's a lot of jargon, but basically in that initial consultation with a potential client, that's what you were talking about in teaching them how mm-hmm. to how to leverage that appreciative inquiry. So in other words, instead of meeting with a client, a potential client, talking to them about what they want and why they don't have it, it's really about what is it that you possess that could get you there. And so it's not really getting, helping them get there in that consultation, but it's really helping them see that they can. And it's probably you or we as the coach helping, really, we're able to see that they can as well. So we can envision it, they can envision. And that's what leads us to wanting to work together. It's really powerful.
It really is. And it, what it does is it, the person walks away with a sense of hope.
Yes.
But also, you know, people need to feel some pain when you're marketing with people and trying to enroll people in what you're doing to know that there is something that they want, that they need or want. But this is a way to help them see, you're right, that there is a possibility of getting it, especially if they didn't believe they could, if they had a negative belief about that. It's really, it really is empowering.
And so what would you do then in using the appreciative inquiry? How would you then help them see that there is a need? There's something between what they are capable of doing and what they're doing right now to get where they want to be?
Well, I think it goes back to using your basic coaching skills as part of that process. Using this model, then, you know, I can help them focus on what's the topic that you want to really dwell on. And then what would you like if you had your ideal of this particular thing that you're wanting, like a better career, a better job, for example? Just describe for me, what's your dream of that? Go into depth about what that could look like. And then when they do, their emotions get engaged, they get more excited, and they start to see possibilities. And so we're not dwelling on where they're not at, because they already know that. They've already stated what it is, you know. And
right.
Often they'll come in and say, they'll say, well, I don't want to, I have bad communication skills, or I'm having trouble with my boss, I don't want that anymore. And I'll say, well, what do you want instead? So we pivot their attention to what they really want, and then help them build on that. So there's a gap already in their mind, but then we kind of help to have them come up with an image of what it is, what it could be.
Yeah. Wow. So how does story fit into your business?
Okay. Well, I actually give a talk on this, too, to a lot of groups called Connecting Through Story and Storytelling, Leveraging the Power of Your Story for Influence and Success. And there's three ways that I use story in my business. One, we've been talking about for organizational change, like with the teams and leaders and helping them develop a new vision, a new future for their team or their organization. And we do that with storytelling through that appreciative interview process. So they're actually telling stories to each other. They're listening to stories. And then we're creating a new story for the organization around their vision, their new vision. So that's with organizational change. And team building, I can use it for team building. I can use this with icebreakers. It can be a little short session or a very long extended engagement with a company. And then secondly, I've just been talking about coaching with individuals. So I have what I call my Discover Your Story to Success program, and that's literally working with a client to help them uncover the stories in their lives that are influencing them. And I use the metaphor of the hero's journey with them. So we go through a timeline, the life timeline. We look at events and things that have occurred where they've had turning points or made major decisions that have affected them. And then what kind of decisions did they make at those turning points? And sometimes they're very undermining, right? They're still limiting them. Something happened when they were a child or when they were a teenager or whenever, it can be as an adult, and they're still operating under that cloud, if you will. And so they get a chance to explore that and then reframe it. If, you know, in another way, how can it be used to help you going forward? And then I also then have them look at the stories that they now want to tell going forward, so that if they're using, you know, in their career or their business or their marketing or whatever, they can start using their own stories that way. And then the third way is I do a business. I teach business storytelling workshops, and I actually help people understand why story is so powerful and important. And we talked about the brain science and how, you know, people, what, you know, that old saying, facts tell and stories sell.
Yes, heard that I definitely do.
Well, literally, I go into that and explain the brain science behind it. And then also I help them understand a lot of the kinds of stories that would be useful to know and tell whenever they're trying to enroll a client, when they're wanting to build a relationship, just in a conversation at a cocktail party, whatever, what they could do when they're speaking publicly. So it's all about influence, how to increase your influence using stories. And it's a lot in speaking and training. And there's a lot of different types of stories that people, so you can have a signature story, which sort of defines who you are, your brand, and the thing that draws people to you. But there's a lot of other kinds of stories that people can use for in different contexts.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of the strategy. You're helping to discover a person's you kind of analyze the strategy that they have for developing a story, and then help them see how they can develop, maybe, like you said, their signature story, and then maybe some of those sub stories for maybe a specific audience or something. That's really, really cool.
A lot of times they don't have a strategy, so it may be helping them to get a strategy or develop one using stories, because we just, you know, a lot of times we're not aware of how we're coming across, how we're talking to people, and how we might be able to use some of those new stories to improve that communication and to draw people to us, or to get them to enroll in a program or buy our product or whatever they're trying to do. What do they want to accomplish?
Because it could be personal, professional, it could be in a corporation within a company that they're employed, or maybe it's their own business.
Or someone who wants to get a new job and they want to interview with people. And if they can really tell the story of their experience. I mean, I've worked with several clients. They've been turned down over and over for jobs, and we start to break it down. And why is that? And I'll find out they've gotten feedback from a recruiter or somebody else. Well, you just didn't explain very well what you did, and people, they weren't interested. Helping them be able to learn to tell that about that experience in a more compelling way.
So maybe if someone is, using that scenario, if someone has had several interviews and they're frustrated, like, why can't they see what I can do? That might be a sign that they could work with you on that.
Yeah, that's true. And there's a structure to story, which I also teach in my workshop, which a lot of people, if you are a writer, you know, you would understand it. And that's one of the ways that I got kind of connected back to story as a theme for me and my niche, because I went back and took creative writing courses several years ago at SMU. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is what I'm doing. It kind of was this big epiphany, aha moment about this is a theme and pattern. I'd been involved in storytelling for years. I go to storytelling festivals. I'm a member of a local storytelling guild. And I realize I'm using this stuff at work too. And so it kind of hit me, wow, I should be teaching this, right? Interesting.
Yeah. I know I'm hogging our time, so I want to be sure Bruce gets some questions in there.
Exactly. No, it's all really, really good. I like how this is really, again, in the spirit of coaching, you know, we talk about positive psychology and positive, you know, focusing on the positive, you know, if the strengths find other types of things that in the coaching space that we really utilize, and we, you know, part of the foundational elements are the client's strengths, right? And then you either building or, like you're saying, you're utilizing those strengths to solve problems or to solve I shouldn't say that necessarily, or increase business, etc. So I really latching on to that aspect. And I want to circle back, if I could, if you don't mind, for a second, and kind of deconstruct a little bit some of the elements of the appreciative inquiry. I just love the sound of that. And it looks like a ninja weapon. in a good.
It is.
For the good. Tell me a little bit more about the appreciative inquiry and kind of deconstruct that. What are the core elements of
Okay. Well, appreciative inquiry is a very positive methodology or method for managing or dealing with change in organizations. And it was conceived by David Cooper-Ryder, who's a professor at Case Western University. And I worked at GTE and Verizon, and we brought him in and several other consultants to work with us because we had a huge, massive downsizing of 17,000 employees in 1 year. And you can imagine after that, the morale was decimated. Employee engagement went down the tubes, and we had very low employee opinion survey results on a scale of 1 to 100, when we'd often had 50, 60, 70, or 80% positive satisfaction among employees. We wound up having some groups under 10%. Mm. It was horrible. And yeah. These were the people who were interacting with the public, a lot of them in call centers and the installers and repairmen and all that. And so we brought them in. So I got to be completely immersed in this process with many, many teams and groups. And so what we did, and it started out of this low morale, and we're trying to bring that back up and get employee engagement up. And so what we did is we went through and looked at a lot of different topics and what were the things we wanted to focus on. And we wanted storytelling was going to be one of the core principles, a focus on the frontline employees, and infusing all this in our communications, our public affairs and community affairs groups came through this training, and they changed the language in the employee opinion survey, the company newsletters, all kinds of stuff. And so the process involves engaging a team or a large group of people. It can be small, anywhere from 5 to 10 up to 250 or more in a room together, and we take them through this 5D process. And the first thing we do is identify what is the topic that you want to focus on, what do you want them to either learn more about or share experiences around. And so one topic, for example, was leadership development. Another one was coaching. We wanted to create a more coaching-like culture. Another one had to do with better union management relationships, that kind of thing. And so each group would have a different focus depending on their need. And so it was customized to the group. And what we would do then, I'll put people in pairs and then have them interview each other around the topic. And then what we do is we go through this whole process, the defining, I just talked about the topic, the discovery or the interviews, when we surface the best practices or best successes, best experiences in the organization from the employees themselves. And it's all ranked, so that it includes the leaders and the first and second, third line employees. And then we have them come up with a dream, a shared dream, an image of the future of what that could look like, the new vision for the organization or the team. Then we have them collaborate on designing what are the options, what are the ways we could make this happen. So they're coming up with ideas, brainstorming, and then they choose a set of actions. And then we go to the 50, which is delivery, or David called it destiny. But in our organization, we didn't think that landed too well with engineers and techie types, so we changed the word to delivery. And so literally we're taking, and you can take a team through this process in 2 days, but many of the groups I work with, some of the call centers, for example, and we did this over a series of months. We'd have the first session, have them define the topic, get a group of 10 people, have them interview each other, come up with patterns and themes, and have them help craft or write the interview questions. And then each of them would go out and interview 10 people themselves using those questions. And they would bring back the stories because they had to take notes and document all this. And then we'd look at what was the overall pattern and theme from patterns and themes from the whole organization. And then that small team would craft the vision and take it back to the group with, and had gotten ideas also from them on how to implement stuff. And, you know, so then you wind up having a lot more involved process and a lot more people involved. So it's not just a few people in a room making those decisions and then telling people what to do.
That works out better, doesn't it?
Yep. Sure does. Does that answer your question, Bruce, or do you want me to elaborate further?
No, I think that's a really that's a good technique, very interactive, and you know, sounds like you know, when you're working with an organization that has all these disgruntled employees or what have you, or stressed or stressed, they really need to focus on something positive. You know what I mean? And so this really gives them inlet to be able to do that and then apply it moving forward. So it's good where you're coming in and possibly being a an influencer in a good way on the culture there. So
And we were all about culture change. That was the we wanted to change the organization because of the issues that we'd had. And we used a lot of different kinds of narrative practices. I'm talking about a priest of inquiry, but we also used forums, something like the World Cafe, where it was all around conversations and stories and getting people interacting with each other and generating ideas. And so there's a lot of different processes that I have that I can use to work with organizations which do involve narrative or stories or storytelling. So it's so rich. There's so many things you can do with this to help people get employees more engaged. And I know you're familiar with the Gallup organization and their research over the years with employees, and that anywhere from 20 to 30% of employees are unengaged. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sorry, the opposite. 75% of employees are unengaged, and only about 25% are really actively engaged and positive about what they're doing. And this really helps to shift that because you're getting them more involved and help and listening to their ideas and letting them implement and be the change agents.
That's so cool. It's really, it energizes them and inspires them, I'm sure.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then to have them be the change agents, you know, I think that's, you're not the change agent or some other.
Right. Yeah. So exactly. And what one of my goals is not to be the person they are dependent on for this. It's to educate and empower them so they are inspired to go do things. And when I was working with GT and Verizon, we actually focused on that front line, and we created a group of people, what we call them zealots, but the union didn't like that name, so we changed it to positive change agents, the PCN network, positive change network. And some of those individuals just took it upon themselves to go out and interview their friends and coworkers to find out what they liked and what worked. And they would go back to management and say, "This is what I've learned. Would you be willing to consider some of this stuff?" I mean, we literally had people just go off and do it on their own. And
so
it was pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. In our training class with the coaching students, I challenged the coaches, the students, to practice on anyone, practice the appreciative inquiry. And one of the gentlemen practiced it on his 14-year-old son, and they were kind of stuck on a problem, an issue at home. And it was so powerful. He said he just watched his son, like his eyes lit up because he figured something out, like something he could do different. And it was so much better than lecturing or going, "Why didn't you do that? Why haven't you figured that out?" You know, I think that works a lot better.
Yeah, I had the same. I've heard other stories from leaders, colleagues who would tell me one of the women was talking about how she used to go travel a lot, and she had a nanny, and she'd come home and she'd always told the nanny to write down a list of the things that her son didn't do well, like he didn't wash the dishes or clean his room or take out the trash. And so when she'd come home, he would go hide in his room because she was going to go through the list. She realized what she was doing, it was not helping them or their relationship. So she told the nanny, I think what you ought to do is just start paying attention and make a list of all the things he did well.
Wow.
And so that changed. He said he started running to the door. Mom, guess what? she was focusing on what he did well.
That's so powerful, simple. And yet sometimes we're just stuck in a certain mindset that we don't see that.
Mm-hmm. When David Cooperrider, one of his stories he shared with us a lot in his presentations was about his children. He had three kids and they all played basketball and they were different ages, of course, and they were always fighting and picking on each other. And he came up with this idea, why don't I have them all go to, I'm going to videotape all of their basketball games. And then he would take those films and sit down in the living room with all three children. He said, I want you to go through these. Instead of telling me what your brother did wrong, I want you to, we're going to do a highlights reel for each one of you. So you've got to look for the best things they did when they were playing. And so it shifted their focus. And they went up doing this video highlights reel for each of the kids. And then after that, he said his kids like became the best cheerleaders for each other at their games and stuff. It changed the way they looked at each other and where they put their focus.
Aww,
it's really powerful.
That is powerful. And so talk about how you bring this to market. You know, you mentioned how you work with teams. So there's that, and that could be within an organization or like you said, in a church or corporation. So talk about other ways, like you mentioned workshop and private mm-hmm. coaching.
Yes. I offer several workshops. One of them is called Business Storytelling for Fun and Profit, How to Leverage Your Stories for Influence and Success. And then I also have an Appreciate Inquiry Applications for Organizational Change workshop that I offer. I've been doing it about once a year. And and for the business storytelling, I'm probably going to start offering it several times a year. I'd only done it once, but now I'm going to amp that up. And then, of course, there's individual coaching. I can work with people. And then I also do speaking. So if anybody is looking for a speaker, this year I've been speaking a lot to coaching groups like yours, coaching schools,
Hi.
Or coaching chapters, or I've got another one coming up for coaches of productivity that I'm going to be doing a talk for. I just did one for the Oklahoma, Louisiana chapter, Arkansas chapter. So I can speak virtually, you know, through webinar or in person. In person, we can do more because we can do some interactive exercises. And a lot of times if I do a luncheon speech, then if they want a workshop, I can do that afterwards. So that's another way that I can share this information. And I'm working on a program right now. I haven't launched it, but it's called Phenomenal Woman, and it's based on the hero's journey. And it's around, what story are you living? Is it empowering or disempowering? And how we look at archetypes and how we can reconstruct, look at what's helping and what's getting in the way. And that involves story. It's all around story too. But I haven't launched that yet. I'm working on it right now. I'll announce it later in the year,
busy.
Probably. Yeah, trying to be, wanting to be.
Yeah, you're kind of busy. that's really cool.
Sounds like you have a lot of different service lines that you can offer, groups and businesses and
mm-hmm.
And others. That's great. Kind of, you're nimble and can pivot and do a bunch of things.
Yeah, it's really coaching, training, and workshops, pretty much those kind of three areas there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any one particular type of client that you found? I know that water seeks its own level, right? I know that there's certain types of clients.
Right.
Do you have a couple of types of clients that you find are calling on your service?
A lot of times it will be coaches, of course. You know, a lot of coaches want to do this kind of work, and they want to add some skills to what they already doing. And then also within mid to large organizations, I work with anywhere from a director level and above. I've worked a lot with teams, directors and vice presidents who want to go through an employee engagement process. So we use the appreciative inquiry for that. Individually, it can be any level of leader who wants to either be more influential in terms of pursuing a career direction, or they want to be more influential with their followers. And so we talk about leveraging stories for that. So it's really coaches and mid to upper level leaders in organizations.
Very good. Now, using that technique for the leaders, for their followers, what would be an example of something that you might do for that? I don't want you to give away any proprietary secrets.
Oh, okay. So with, like, say, a director level and above or executive, a lot of times they're real, some of them I worked with are real data-oriented, facts-oriented, and they're not necessarily relational. And sometimes they don't understand that revealing more of who they are, being willing to be a little bit more vulnerable, is going to buy them a lot more influence and, you know, ability to work with people. So they need to make connections. And so what I help them do, for example, I have a leader I worked with, just without revealing any confidences, but he was very mission oriented. He didn't, he believed keeping work and business completely separate. So he didn't want to reveal much about himself. He was very private, and it was really hurting him because he had mostly women working for him. And a lot of them were very relational. They were friends. They wanted to get to know him, and he wasn't letting them. And he also was kind of terse and abrupt and very kind of authoritarian. And so we worked on, what is it that you could tell them or share with them? What topics that might be safe for you without revealing too much about your private life that would engage them? And he's a Little League coach. Well, I can tell him stories about Little League. Yeah. So I invited him. Well, in the morning, do they go to break together? Or he said, yeah. I said, well, would you be willing to spend some time on the break with these ladies or your staff and just share a few stories about your Little League experiences? And he did. And I'm telling you, it completely transformed because he came back and said, oh, my God, I didn't realize I could do this. And they laugh at me and they love what I'm telling them. And it's really changed things a lot. And it was really just a limiting belief he had, which we addressed. And then he started sharing more about himself. And they got to see the leader in him with these kids. And they got to have empathy and more understanding. And he talked about he was wise with working with children. But none of that was coming out. So wow. We used stories to break through.
The Little League story that changed everything. You never know, though, what it's going to be that connects you with someone else.
Yeah.
And so I can imagine, I'm just thinking as a coach myself and starting my business, it was, it's always for me a challenge to market myself, to talk about myself. It feels weird, like I'm so great. It's so much better to tell a story and that way, when we tell a story, it connects us to the people, whoever it resonates with, that's who we're going to connect with. And generally, that's going to be our target market anyway.
And you can tell a story about yourself and without being the hero of the story. You can be a main player in it, right?
Right.
Where you're supporting someone, but you're able to make a point or have a moral to the story that includes you. And because I know that's one of the problems that people tell me they have. They feel like they're bragging, or it's all about them, or they don't know how to tell a good story, or they don't have good stories, all that kind of stuff, when we all have them if we just start looking.
Yeah, sometimes we think our stories are boring, but they may not be to other people.
Yeah. And if someone's able to tell it in a way that captures attention, because sometimes people can tell a story and it kind of fall flat, but still there are some elements to storytelling that can, you know, just like a good drama on TV where you kind of get intrigued, you know, your interest is piqued. And that's what a good story can do, starting out a speech and I'm not saying anything new or novel. This has been around for centuries, right? This knowledge or information, but it's just a lot of have to just rediscover it, right?
Right. And understand the strategy behind it. Have, you mm-hmm. know, be mindful of a strategy. So do you have, this is a question for me and hopefully other people as well. Do you have a storytelling workshop coming up, or how would we know when you have one coming up?
Well, I've been going through a lot of changes this year, so I didn't have one booked, but I'm going to book one for the fall, the last quarter. And on my website, I'll be posting it. I still have the old one, previous one that I did post. I need to change that. But I'll let you know. I'll send you an email, and it will be posted on my website once I get all that locked in. You know, I have to get a location and, mm-hmm. you know, before I can, you know, so I can get a firm date, because I need a location. But yeah, so I'm going to be offering one in the fall, so I can let you know, and you could let your listeners or other people, you know, share that information with them.
Definitely. And then can people go on your website and connect with you by signing up for, you know, that those announcements by email?
Yes. Once I get this solidified, I'll be sending out emails to let people know.
Got it. Okay.
And then also, you know, there's contact information on my website too, so people can reach out to me. And I know I'll be sharing that with you in just a few moments. To if they want to get on the list to be notified, or if they want to have a complimentary strategy session with me, then, you know, I'd be available to do that too.
Okay. Excellent.
That is excellent. You know, I wish you had a YouTube channel and people could watch a video of your storytelling. But anyway, hey, you know, while we're here, we have a few minutes left. Why don't you share with our listeners all the contact points? You said you have a website, maybe you have some social media contact points. How can our listeners get a hold of you?
Yeah, you can contact me at the website is www.positivechangeworks.com, and the works is spelled with a Z, so it's positivechangeworks, WORKZ.com. And Jerry at positivechangeworks.com. And my first name is spelled G-E-R-I at positivechangeworks.com. And my telephone number is 214-789-5910. And those are the best ways to get in touch with me.
Fabulous. We may, Jerry, are you still there? We may have lost.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I'm here. Didn't hear you.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, we may have lost Bruce, but I just want to say thank you for joining us today. And just thanks for your energy. Love hearing just the energy in your voice and hearing about what you're doing to help people empower themselves and see the power that they have and the positive assets that they have to make change. And as you say, to make positive change. And sometimes it's to make change positive too, I would imagine, because there's some change that comes to us we may not want. So anyway, I'm just so glad to have you on today. And I know Bruce is too. And Bruce, I'll turn it over to you.
Okay, sounds good. Well, great.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show today. And I love that positive change and all those good things, man. It's all good to hear yet again from another avenue, from another angle. You know, just when you think, you know, we've covered so many different types of coaching and a variety of coaching, I just love the storytelling aspect. I think that's great. I know, you know, people have their story, you know, that's their testimony. And you know what? There's no right or wrong answer with that. That's what it is. And if they can tell that, yeah, right. And so that's the safe. It's always a safe bet, and they can do that in a way with some coaching and assistance, and in a way that is impactful and you know, persuasive and, you know, part of a means to an end goal. I think that's great. So what a great service that is, and so glad you came on the show, and look forward to maybe having you come back again. And of course, you're welcome. Telling our listeners, when you do have these workshops, we'll pass that along to our listeners. So folks, Thanks for tuning in to the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. Again, see us on our Facebook page at Concierge Coaches Show. I can be reached at conciergecoach.net. And also remember that our shows are archived on the LA Talk Radio site and also available to you 24 hours a day for free on our iTunes. That's right. The show is available for free on iTunes 24 hours a day just for you. So, Jenny, how can folks reach you?
All right. It's so cool. We're on iTunes. So people can reach me at jhubconsulting.com, and it's jhubconsulting.com. And it's great to be on the show today as we get into August. Here we are.
That's right. August 2018. So folks, come back next week for another exciting show here on LA Talk Radio, Concierge Coaches Show. See you then. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Jenny Hubby, only on LA Talk Radio.